Listen, love is patient, love is blind. When I am hurting, love is kind. It's so real, it always lasts. I found love's the best friend I could ever have. It's carried in the wind by angels like water. Love washes my soul. From now until the end, oh, pray it forever. It holds me and never lets me go. And love, it never fails. It's so strong. Love shows forgiveness when I am wrong. It's so pure, it speaks the truth. I found love's forgiveness. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I do. It's carried in the wind by angels like water. Love washes my soul. From now until the end, I'll pray it forever. It holds me and never lets me go. Water, love washes my soul. From now until the end, I'll pray it forever. It holds me and never lets me go. The reason that I wanted to sing that song is because I baited you, if you are friends with us on Facebook or you're a member of the Facebook page Williamson County Cowboy Church, and you should be. You need to go and follow us. Because I did a post yesterday, and I'd been studying this in a room and that I got, a motel room that I got in Belfouche, South Dakota. And, I mean, I spent all day just, I kind of told Lance as I was driving, hey, this is what I'm going to preach because you won't be here. And then he showed up. And and I said, have you ever wanted to live in the supernatural? Because a lot of people don't really understand that you as a believer in Jesus Christ can live in the supernatural, in the miraculous, really. I mean, you can be the one that don't just hear about miracles, you can walk in them all the time if you would just understand really what it is to live in the supernatural. Now, I'm not talking about Superman and, you know, things that they can do, you know, and kryptonite can put him down and, you know, then all of a sudden he flies off. I'm talking about supernatural things that God can do in your life And I'm telling you, if you would ever just want to experience signs and wonders, I want you to turn just real fast in your Bible to Mark chapter 16. And then I also want you to turn in the 1 John, which is right at the back of your Bible. You go Revelations, Jude, and then you'll see three Johns, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So turn to Mark chapter 16, and then also find 1 John chapter 1. Let's go 1 John chapter 4. In Mark's gospel, because this is, again, one of the four gospels that most people see the same accounts in, I like the book of Mark in this example because we're talking today about experiencing and living in supernatural ways. And I'll explain that in just a second. Seeing signs and wonders. If you don't believe in healing, it will never happen to you. Because the Bible says all things are possible to him that what? Believe. You got to believe. By faith, you've got to believe in a God that you cannot see in the flesh. You obviously can see the results of God. Just look at each other. In the book of Genesis, God said, he created you. He created me in his image, in his likeness, you see. And then he created a man, called him male, and he created a woman and called her female. So that should answer lots of questions in our world today.
Amen.
Anyway, that's not where I'm going. We've got to live in supernatural ways in this world, because if not, you're going to have to live like the world. You're going to have to agree with things that happen in the world, like sickness and disease. You'll have to live deeper in the hope of God than what you see, smell, hear, taste, and touch. Because most Christians live by the five physical senses. But a believer in Jesus Christ does not. They live by the true word of God. And so they've got to get a lot of junk that they see and they hear out. And they've got to look at the true word of God that scientists are still trying to disprove, but they can't. Because the prophecies that were in this Bible 2,000 years ago and written, inspired by God, are coming to pass today in front of our eyes. Amen. We're seeing miraculous things happening, but not to people that don't believe. If you trust in some denomination that don't believe in healing and believes that it went away with the old covenant, then that's how you're going to live. But if you trust the word of God that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he healed blind Bartimaeus, like we talked about earlier, then he's got to heal you today, because he's no respecter of persons. He don't show favoritism on blind Bartimaeus and not you. Even if Jesus is now ascended up to the Father. No. He left all the authority to you and I now. And he says, hey, listen, if you want to see the miraculous, the supernatural, do everything in the name that's above all names, Jesus. Don't do it in your own name. There's not a bit of power in that. But there's power in the name. Come on. Above all names, see. Now, in Mark chapter 16, when we start talking about living in the supernatural, which is greater, the greater things that God has for us, healing. If you want to operate in healing, you've got to live in the supernatural. And you got to trust God like we talked about in Psalms 91. Look at, though, verse 17 of Mark chapter 16 and what it says. By the way, Jesus is talking here. It's in red, right? I kind of believe everything that's written in red as well. I believe the black stuff, you know, the, don't get me wrong. But man, when Jesus says it, I take notice. And what did he say? And these signs shall follow them, say it with me, that, oh, there's that word believe again. You've got to be a believer, y'all. In my name, they shall cast out devils. I'm telling you, if you ever witnessed an old devil, ooh, Jesus, you better know your stuff. Because most people get in fear when they, you realize there's fallen angels, right? Yes. Called demons. And there's a devil that called old Slewfoot, old Lucky. That's why I don't believe in luck. I mean, I got luck out of my vocabulary a long time ago. I hear it all the time. Good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck. And I don't correct them because it's not my business. But now my church, I'm going to teach you the revelation of, they used to call Satan old Lucky when you study it out. Because luck, there's good and there's bad. But you and I, since we should live in the supernatural, we're just blessed. We're highly favored. And there's no such thing as a bad blessing. So I don't live by luck. I live by the blessing of God. It's not by chance. No. I live by God's true word. Now, I may make a mistake, but that's why there's grace and mercy and forgiveness and et cetera. But it's saying these signs are going to follow them that just simply believe. They're going to cast out devils. Now, listen to me. Don't start going and trying to cast out a devil out of everybody, okay? But there's times when the enemy is trying to steal from you and kill from you and destroy, as John 10:10 talks about, that you've got to literally speak to that devil. That's why when we pray in this church and we're speaking to the devil and commanding him to get thee behind me, Satan, you remember? That's why you don't bow your head, don't close your eyes. We're not going to bow to some devil. When you speak to him in authority, and you command him to get under your feet again where he belongs. You command him to get thee behind me. Why? Because you've got the authority as a believer to do it. All you've got to do is just start speaking it out. Devil? Now, just because I looked at you, you're not the devil. I forget about that. But when you're speaking to the enemy, you got to do it with authority. And there's some things in our life that we probably need to speak to. That spirit of pornography, that spirit of anger, that spirit of alcohol, that spirit of drugs, whatever it might be. Whatever is trying to cause you not to be the head and the tail, and to be the tail, you've got to speak to that individual spirit. And that's a sign, if you'll simply believe it, because you got the authority to do it. And you say to that spirit, get out in Jesus' name. Stop messing with you're not going to win over my marriage, because my marriage is healthy and blessed, praise God, and it's going to have longevity because I'm going to serve my God. So devil, get your hands off of my marriage in Jesus' name. Why wouldn't a believer do that? Because signs and wonders will follow people to believe, and they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. I can spend a little time on taking up a serpent, because you've seen probably on TV where they've created a religion on letting snakes bite you. Yo mama. We will not be a snake handling church. You bring a snake in here, you will die with the snake. Oh, people just take the word of God to the extreme. Yeah, but it says these signs will follow and will take up serpents and won't hurt you. Yeah, but not on purpose. No, you let a snake bite you. Here, this is the King James. Thou will dieth. Quicklyeth. Look at this, though. They shall lay hands on the sick. This is supernatural stuff, y'all. And they shall recover. Not maybe. Now, what is it talking about again? People who believe. Say it with me. People who
believe
the Word of God in the right context. If the Bible says by Jesus' stripes we're healed, if you'll believe it, you'll walk in a supernatural way of health. Okay? Now, the reason I sang that song, if you'll flip now over to 1 John chapter 4, is I'm going to explain to you how important it is to live in God's kind of love, to walk in the supernatural. You will not be able to live in the supernatural and experience miraculous things when the world is going to hell and the government is coming against us believers and the persecution is to the extreme. If you trust in God and walk in love, that stuff won't bother you a bit. You'll just walk in the blessing of God, and it all will be because of the one fruit of the Spirit called love. Amen. And you heard that song about love. It is so, so important that a believer in Jesus Christ learn about agape love, God's kind of love. Not Eros love, a human love. Not any of the other loves that you can see in the Bible. No, I'm talking about agape love, God's kind of love. Because if you experience God's kind of love, nothing will bother you. Not a bit of persecution, not the things that you'll see and hear in the world. No, no, you'll continue to live by the supernatural because you want to experience the miraculous. You want to live in the supernatural. And it all comes by how you experience signs and wonders, but operating in love. So we need to start talking about love because, y'all, love is the answer. Money is not the answer. Healing is not the answer. Deliverance is not the answer. You know what is? And those are all byproducts because you can have all of them, but you're not going to have them without love. Now, most of you know years ago when if you've gone here long enough, you've heard this, but they made a movie called Brokeback Mountain. You've heard about that. And it was ironic that they used the Western world, a cowboy. And I'll never forget being a pastor of pastors, and I knew God was putting me as the head of Cowboy Ministers Network and et cetera, that I was getting calls, are you going to come against what the devil is doing, trying to portray the last group of people that's masculine, the group of people that God is actually using in the last of the last days? Why? Because the cowboy culture in the world, we still believe in a man and a woman getting married. I'm talking a true born man and a true born of God woman. And we're still bold enough if the Bible says it, by golly, we're going to believe it. But we've got to do it in love, right? So they called me and said, hey, man, we have to come against what the world is trying to portray in the Western world, the cowboys, as two cowboys, you know, hooking up, basically, as that Brokeback Mountain movie was. And so Fox News was going to put me on, and they were going to send me and to just as a cowboy preacher come against, and they wanted to get me on Fox News, so I had to go watch that movie. Oh, it was terrible. Because really, one of the first scenes was a sex scene by two men. And I was amazed that people sat there and didn't get up. And I couldn't make it through the whole thing, by the way. And it never panned out where I went. But publicly, we came against it. Why? Well, because the devil knows that if you get a hold of God's kind of love in your personal life, oh man, it never fails. It's not puffed up. It's not haughty. Man, when you operate in God's kind of love, whoo, it'll bless your soul. It'll change your life, actually. You'll not be an angry person any longer if you walk in God's kind of love. I don't care what someone does to you, sticks you in the back. When you have God's agape kind of love and understand it, oh, it'll change your whole life, and you won't be one of those people who holds grudges. So we've got to start learning about God's kind of love if you want to live in the supernatural. If you want to live by the experiences of the miraculous, if you want to see signs and wonders, or you'll just live seeing everybody die of sickness and disease. There's got to be a believer, though, that reads the Word of God that would dare to believe that you don't have to die sick. You can die when you want to die. Because the Word of God says there's power in your tongue over life and death. But our world has convinced us that, well, that's just part of life, cancer. And trust me, when you get gray hair, you start understanding when something hurts in one area of the body, the devil immediately brings to your mind, uh-oh. I got this little place on my ear that I'm going to go to the dermatologist and I'm going to let them zap it off. But when I started feeling it, I said, what the heck is that thing? You know, it's the sun does that to us. The enemy automatically, uh-oh. Skin cancer. I immediately said, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. That thing better fall off in Jesus' name. I speak to my blood constantly, y'all. I was in the shower and I don't know, it just came to my mind and I don't know if I'd already put soap in my hair or not, but I just started saying, you know what, Father? Every vein, every artery, everything that causes blood to flow in this body is opened up. And if there's anything trying to stop the blood, you open it up in Jesus' name. My heart, it works to the perfection of God on how you created it to work. My body is healthy and whole in Jesus' name. And I pray over that chicken fried steak, sir, and I thank you, Lord, that it's sanctified by the Word of God and it brings health and energy to my body. And everything that's bad in the gravy, you remove it in Jesus' name. I mean, I don't know if it worked, but it's worth saying. Anyway, look at John chapter 4. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Beloved, I'll find a stopping place here in a second and we'll finish this next week. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Well, we all know that, right? I mean, the world is, wow. And with the physical eye getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Coming so against our God. What does it say here, though? You are of God, little children. And have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's giving us confidence here. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know both, in other words. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. Now, the world does not, y'all. It's very confusing because the world thinks what is right is now wrong and what is wrong is now right. I kind of like that little video I saw flying on the plane where a gal was trying to make a point, so she dressed as a cat, put on a tail, put on, you know, the little ears and a little cat costume. And she told the school board who she was talking to, how many of you, when they looked at her and she had the little whiskers and everything, how many of you really believe that I am a cat? Of course, none of the city council said, yeah, I believe you're a cat. Because they knew that that was make-believe. She was not a cat, no matter how or what costume she put on. I don't care if she meowed. I don't care if she climbed a tree. She was not a cat. You know why? Because she was a human. So I don't care what you say you are. You are what God created you to be. Amen. Not how you were, were born. All right, I better get back to this. Okay. Where did I end? Six. So we know what's right and we know what's wrong, y'all. We just got to be brave enough out of love to say what's right. Okay? It's going to be confusing for the enemy, though. Because they're immediately going to attack us. Well, you ain't a God of love if you don't accept me how I am. No, no, no. We still have to live by the principles and the truth of God. And we can't let all that other distract us into a counterfeit love. When we operate in the true agape love, then we still have to live by the boldness of the truth of the Word of God, y'all. That's why God's using cowboys. And I'm not saying if you're not a cowboy, he's going to use you because he's just using the Western world because we don't take no stuff. Right? I'm not a cussing man, never have been. But the world will make you cuss. So we've got to operate in love and we got to start living by the truth of the Word of God. So we know the spirit of truth, we know the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, that's talking about all of us believers, y'all. Let us love. Oh, man. Come on, underline that, y'all. Get your Bible out. You got to see all this yourself. You can't just trust the preacher. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Who do you serve, y'all? Who are you serving? Are you serving your business? Are you serving something else? No, no, no. The love is of God. And if you serve that God, then you got to start operating in God's kind of love. I wish I had time to keep going, but I'm going to finish all this next week because next Sunday I want to give you about six things that will help you because of love operate in the supernatural. I mean, you're going to be the ones that lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You're going to see the manifestations of God doing some miraculous things. Why? Because we serve that kind of God. Amen. We serve a God that is again, yes and amen. And whatever is hurting in your body, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are healed. Amen. And when you operate in God's kind of love, then there's no hindrance that's going to stop the manifestation of true healing in your body. Amen. I mean, that's just that's the God we serve. The thing is you've got to start believing. Not the doubts that come in, because we don't serve the God of fear, doubt, and unbelief. We serve a God that is fully, justly, and honorably has already done everything he can do so that you walk in true love and healing. Amen. All we've got to do is get all the fear out.
That's right.
So the Bible, what does he say? I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the spirit of power, brother. Love and a sound mind. You just got to not let the devil pervert love like Brokeback Mountain. Because that's why he didn't want us to operate in God's kind of love. So he perverts anything that's good, right? Because he doesn't want you to see victory in your life. He doesn't want you to see provision. He does not want to have you see favor. He doesn't want you to have the true healing that God has for you. See, all this is supernatural stuff living and experiencing, praise God. Now, I'm not saying that you won't see some trials and tribulations and attacks and those kind of things, but if you operate in God's kind of love, all that stuff just goes over the head. And you just, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how much heartache you have had in your life or I've had in my life. If you walk in God's kind of love and you start believing that signs and wonders are going to follow you that believe and stop listening to the devil about all the bad things you did back when and just operate in God's kind of love, tell the devil to get out or maybe take the thought captive. You remember? Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. That's when you start seeing manifestations because the attacks have come. But greater is he that lives in you than he, the devil, that lives in this world. Amen. Your God is greater than anything that's trying to come against you in this life. But man, when you walk in God's kind of love, when you walk in agape love, when you understand that you are and you serve the God of love, whoo, there ain't no devil in hell that can get you down. Amen. We just got to start rising up and start getting a hold of God's kind of love. Not a perverted love. I'm talking God's kind of love. Oh, man. I'm telling you, you're going to start seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Do you realize people still believe in the Word of God and see and experience people raised from the dead deep in Mexico? There's still people that's being raised from the dead. You know why? Because they hadn't been around the world that's got them into fear, doubt, and unbelief. I mean, they're still seeing miracles. Muslims are getting saved like you've never seen in Iraq and Syria and all those places. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Man, we give the devil way too much power. He's just a fallen angel. Remember my grandma? She said, now, Corey, I was probably... right just after I got saved, maybe 11 or 12, and she says, Corey, if you talk to the devil, don't talk out loud. I said, why, Mama? She goes, because he might hear you. I'll never forget it. Because at that time in her life, she was more afraid of the devil than the devil was afraid of her. But it wasn't too long after that she got a hold of God's kind of love. She got a hold of the power of God, the name that's above every name, his authority, praise God. And then the devil became afraid of her. Listen to me. If you walk in God's kind of love, the devil will be afraid of you instead of you afraid of the devil. You're going to have to get a hold of this love walk, y'all. You're going to have to start understanding that God didn't give you that spirit of fear, he gave you spirit power. Love, but you see how I made it right there? I'm not saying that was God that made me make it, but I mean I didn't fall. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power. Love. Say it louder. Love. And then soundness of mind. So today, don't miss tomorrow because I'm going to talk about several things that you're going to see, and we're going to read all the way to 21. If you want to read it before, do. But we're going to talk about how to walk and live and experience supernatural things. Man, I've got so many stories going in my mind, but you probably do too. God putting that fourth leg on a dog in front of everybody in Australia with Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad. I don't have time to tell you. Most of you know that story, but God did it in front of a lot of people that knew the dog had three legs. And the little girl, by faith, heard the preaching of healing and came to Glenn and said, I want God to grow a leg on my dog. And Glenn, full of, you know, the world's fear and doubt in his mind, he didn't say it out of his mouth, but he was like, yeah, we'll pray later. And the girl came to him 3 or 4 times, and finally he said, all right, go get the dog. His mind was full of doubt and unbelief, but his heart was full of faith. And he just prayed over that dog and was just praying when he started hearing, whoo, and the crowd erupting that had known this dog. And that sucker was running around with 4 legs. If you don't believe, you'll never experience that. In your mind, you'll go, there ain't no way. Okay? But if you dare to believe, God is a God. Not of goofiness. I'm not saying there's going to be a bunch of goofy, crazy people trying to grow legs on people. But I'm talking, if God opens that door and someone dare to believe that God can put an arm on them or fingers or whatever, I'm telling you, if you believe, you'll start seeing it. But if you want to be full of doubt, that's fine with me. Just not me.
Can I tell one tiny testimony?
I want you to do it with a microphone, because people that are watching aren't going to be able to hear you. So, if you don't mind, turn this microphone on. It's the white one.
Stand down here with you.
I will.
When Brother Corey was talking about...
It's on.
About Psalm 91. I guess some of y'all know, 2 months ago I had a massive stroke. And my baby sister was in the hospital looking for my insurance card in my wallet. And his little card with Psalm 91 on it fell out in her lap. And she handed it to I have 3 boys. She handed it to my baby son. And she said, you go pray this over your mama right now. And he did. The Word of God. I'm convinced that's when the healing began. That attack happened on a Wednesday. I came home on a Friday. I testified and sang at church on a Sunday. Jesus loves you, and He wants you healed, delivered, and set free. Amen.
And that's living in the miraculous.
Yes, it is. It is miraculous.
Because most people have still... they can't move their left side, or they still have issues.
But God.
Not you.
But God.
Just look how you talk. You still talk the same?
Yes.
With that southern drawl, girl.
Yeah.
Come on, give God praise. Oh, you're good, God. Let's start seeing the miraculous. You don't have to live with seeing everybody just staying sick and hurt and messed up. No, if you'd start believing, come on. If you'd start believing, you would start seeing people that just get healed.
Amen.
Just because of your faith. Hold it
Thank
close.
You. Okay. Can everybody
Quickly.
Hear me? Okay, so a few months ago, I went to my mother's grave. It was the anniversary of her death, and I was out there walking around looking at some of my other family members' gravesides or tombstones, rather, and I got stung by a red wasp. And, you know, this might not be a big deal to some of you, but I'd never been stung by a red wasp before. Ooh, man, it was painful, but I started casting out that pain immediately and started talking to it and talking to God, and it was gone. I didn't have any pain. I didn't have a whelp. I didn't have any redness, anything, no reaction, nothing. It was gone. And my Aunt Lula, I talked to my Aunt Lula, and she said, do you have any tobacco? I said, no, I have the power of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Good. Thank God. I'm reminded of that show. I don't remember what it was. It's Will Smith, and he gets stung by something that makes his whole face, y'all, whatever that's, and his old lips were big. Praise God, nothing happened to you. Amen. Bow your head, please. Pray this prayer after me, everybody. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe God raised you, Jesus, from the dead so that I can have life and more abundant life. Thank you for forgiving me of every sin. And I thank you now that when I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven because Jesus Christ is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody, don't look up. Just heads bowed and eyes closed. If you were here and you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, the Bible says you're born again. Your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. When you leave this earth, you will go to heaven. And Jesus, according to John 14, has prepared a mansion for you in the place called heaven. If that was you and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, I want you to know that angels in heaven are rejoicing for you. If you're watching us from all over, and I know that people watch in Arizona and New Mexico and the Dakotas and California to Florida, and you just prayed that prayer as well, and you gave your heart to Jesus, then you need to tell somebody. But in this audience, if you just prayed that prayer, you gave your heart to Jesus because you just didn't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, but because of that prayer, asking Jesus to come into your life, you are guaranteed heaven when you leave. But here's the deal. You can have heaven here, but you need to acknowledge that if you just gave your heart to Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus says, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. If you just prayed that prayer, and I know believers prayed it with you, but if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to be bold enough when I count to three to just simply raise your hand, not come to the front, not do anything other than raising your hand and saying, I just prayed that prayer. And when I leave this earth, heaven is where I want to be. Because I'm telling you, heaven is where you'll be. I just don't want you to be bold enough to acknowledge it. Again, if you are here at the sound of my voice and you prayed that prayer with all of us and you asked Jesus, the Son of God, to come into your life and you prayed it and you meant it, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then put it right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Boldness. Do not be ashamed of having Jesus in your heart. If you just gave your heart to him, get that hand up at three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank all of you. Appreciate you so much. Glory be to God. Just take that Bible. I'm going to hand you guys a Bible. It's for anybody else. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, then get that hand up if you hadn't already. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Look at me, everybody. Man, when you have the love of God, then listen. I know it's 9 minutes over time for the regular crowds to get out of church. Sometimes freaks people out when we go over 12. Because of the love of God, and I'm telling you, it's happened for 18 years of this church. People always give their hearts to Jesus. I'm telling you, I've never seen a church like it ever. And here's the deal. They may not stick here. They just get saved. A guy came from San Francisco, a pastor, never knew it for a year, just to come and get built up at this church and then headed out. I know that this place probably should be packed out with 1,000 people. I do not care, because God sent 4 people this morning to give their hearts to Jesus. Listen to me.